Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called Why Haven't You Heard About the Drug That Helps Everything from Cancer to Multiple Sclerosis? Samantha Wilkinson was diagnosed with MS in her early 30s, and every time she went to the doctors, she received worse and worse news. It wasn't long before she had to give up her career and be cared for by her husband. But when she was prescribed an electric wheelchair to help with her mobility, she decided to do a little research. That's when she came across naltrexone. Naltrexone is a medicine that was developed in the 1960s to aid addicts detoxing off of heroin. But because it worked by essentially healing the immune system, it can now be used to treat a multitude of disorders, from MS to cancer to autism. After getting on naltrexone, Samantha's MS instantly felt better. She went from being prescribed that electric wheelchair to hiking and climbing, even without needing a cane. It made a world of difference. But in this interview with Elaine Moore, the author of The Promise of Low-Dose Naltrexone Therapy, you'll hear the purely monetary reasons Samantha had to struggle to get this drug prescribed to her, the amazing ways naltrexone can be used in treatment today, and how to get your hands on it if you think you can benefit from it. You'll also hear the many uses for naltrexone. Virtually any disorder that affects the immune system, which are most disorders, can benefit. Find out if it's right for you. You'll hear all the drug facts about naltrexone, how it's usually dosed, the common side effects, and any risks. You'll hear the complete healing protocol that jumpstarts immune system and gets them working properly. Environmental factors, diet, and stress reduction are all important elements as well. You'll hear about the government website you can go to for drug trial information about naltrexone. You'll hear the science behind naltrexone and how it works with the immune system to get it to heal itself. Because naltrexone was developed such a long time ago, it's a generic drug now, and there's no money in it anymore. Sadly, this no money factor is why you won't see it advertised. It's also why it doesn't get funding for the kinds of studies that would allow it to be approved to treat certain disorders. But in this interview, you'll hear the many benefits it can give and how to get it prescribed if you think you can benefit from it. Now let's get going.
Hi, this is Chris Costello, and I've teamed up with Michael Senoff to bring you the world's best health-related interviews. So if you know anyone struggling with their weight, with cancer, diabetes, ADHD, autism, heart disease, or other health issues, send them over to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. We'll be talking with Elaine Moore. And Elaine Moore has worked as a clinical scientist in hospital laboratories for more than 30 years. And she's also a medical writer specializing in autoimmune diseases. Elaine, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So you've written The Promise of Low-Dose Naltrexone Therapy. Elaine, just what is naltrexone?
Naltrexone is an opiate antagonist drug, which means that it blocks the receptors that pick up opiates. And by using a low dose, these receptors are only blocked for about 6 hours. And after, there's like a rebound effect where the body produces way more endorphins. And it's these endorphins and methylenephrine that are the body's own opiates. They're called endogenous opioid compounds, in contrast to exogenous, which would be drugs. And these compounds have a modulating effect on the immune system.
So these opiates are actually produced in the brain.
Right.
And naltrexone works to shut those down, or how does that work?
It actually blocks them. Your cells in the body have receptors for many different things, mostly hormones and drugs. And so you have specific receptors on cells that pick up opiates. And they pick up both synthetic opiates and opiate drugs and also the endogenous ones. So your pain pills would go to these receptors. By blocking them temporarily, you still have endorphins in your blood. The ones that are circulating aren't just going to vanish. So you just have a temporary shutdown. And then in response to the 6 hour shutdown, your body produces many more endorphins, like 300 times as many. In a lot of diseases, there are low endogenous opiates. And some people think that might be the cause of some of these diseases, like different autoimmune diseases and cancers. So they like an MS studies that have been done show that a lot of people with MS naturally have low endorphin levels.
Now, Trexone actually has a very interesting history and a fairly involved history. Can you tell us a little bit what the history of naltrexone is?
Yeah, in the late 60s and 1970s, there was a real problem with heroin abuse. And in response, there was a movement called the War on Drugs, in which President Nixon asked different researchers to find ways to combat the problem. About that time, methadone came out, and that was pretty successful, but it also required a lot of therapy. People had to go in for counseling, so the expense was pretty high. So they were looking for a drug that would keep people from experiencing the effects of heroin, and therefore they wouldn't want to take it. And also, naltrexone is given in high doses where it blocks the receptors all day. The people didn't feel very good because they weren't getting their endogenous opiates either, but they weren't getting any effects from heroin. So it was invented for that purpose, or created in the lab for that purpose.
And so now low-dose naltrexone is being talked about to help with diseases such as autism, cancer, pancreatic cancer, Crohn's disease, AIDS, fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis. I mean, it's a long list. And I think part of the problem with that is people tend not to believe it. So what's going on with that? Why is it so effective for so many different things?
Well, there are opiate receptors on the immune system cells as well. So all these endorphins that are pouring affect the immune system cells. And the body has a natural mechanism known as homeostasis, where different systems work together to promote good health. It's like if you're in an accident, your platelet count might increase to keep your blood clotting so you don't bleed to death. You know, different mechanisms getting placed. And with these endorphins, they help the immune system work to heal the body. And in a way, low-dose naltrexone helps the body heal itself. And that's why it works for so many different diseases. Because pretty much everything is governed by your immune system, and that's basically your white blood cells, which are from the bone marrow. And in autoimmune diseases, for instance, you might get a vast proliferation of white blood cells that are causing inflammation. And inflammation is the root of many diseases. And whenever the immune system is ineffective and not working properly, causing too much inflammation or not killing cancer cells like it should, naltrexone can step in and heal the immune system.
And so are the dosages different for the different diseases, or how is it normally prescribed?
It's normally prescribed starting out like a low dose, say 1.5 milligrams, which is about as low as you can get, just to start low and build up. But the average dose is 4.5 milligrams. And then what Dr. Zagon at the University of Penn State has found out that the major endorphin is really methencephalin, and it's also known as opioid growth factor, OGF. That compound can also be given. OGF seems to work better in certain cancers.
And so how do people go about if they are interested in the naltrexone? Do they go to their normal physician, and can they write a prescription for a low dose?
Yeah, their doctors do write a prescription for a low dose and generally a compounded capsule. And there are a lot of compounding pharmacies like Gibbs and Boca Raton, Florida. A lot of people get it through the mail if they're not able to get it locally. But, yeah, doctors prescribe generally.
Okay, and then are there any websites that people can go to for more information?
LDNERS.org.
And that's a website where people can find out about low-dose naltrexone. So, Elaine, you wrote the book with another gal, Samantha Wilkinson, who had very, very severe symptoms of multiple sclerosis. She discovered low-dose naltrexone and is basically free from symptoms at this point?
Pretty much so. At the time, Sammy Jo had used the conventional therapy. She was getting injections daily, and they were not helping her. She seemed to be deteriorating, where every time she'd go for a doctor visit, she'd hear more bad news, and her doctors had told her to order a motorized wheelchair. And Sammy's really quite young. She was only in her, I think, early 30s when she was diagnosed with MS, and it caused her to career that she had. She wasn't able to work. Her husband found it difficult to take care of her on his own, so they moved back to Texas so they could be close to her immediate family members who helped with her care. And when she started researching and found low-dose naltrexone, her doctor was skeptical, but she managed to find someone else to prescribe it for her, and she immediately noticed relief. She said the first day she took naltrexone was the first time she'd slept in a very long time, where she slept all night without tossing and turning and having leg spasms. And she went from walking with a cane, she never did get the wheelchair, to climbing and hiking and pretty much completely functioning. And she did get off all her conventional meds.
That's truly an amazing recovery. And Elaine, why isn't low-dose naltrexone more well-known? I mean, it isn't in the mainstream as far as I can tell.
Well, it's not. There's no money in it for pharmaceutical companies. Naltrexone, the drug, is now a generic drug because it first came out in the 70s, so it was a generic drug by the 80s. And so there's no pharmaceutical company that has a patent strict rights for it. Probably there's 50 different companies that make naltrexone. So there's compounded formulas that they're inexpensive. So you're not going to see advertising for it. There's not one company that'll pay for extra research because they wouldn't profit from it.
So there hasn't been basically much in the way of promotion for it.
No, there's no real promotion because there's no one who would stand to profit from it. What needs to be done is when it was FDA approved a long time ago, but it was approved as a drug for opiate abuse, and it was later approved for alcohol abuse. It's since been approved for certain conditions such as self-injurious behaviors that some children have, and some kids with autism have self-injurious behaviors, so it's used for that. They've studied it as a treatment to help withdrawal from smoking cessation. They've now got it used with another drug for weight control. But no one outside of the few researchers has done clinical trials on diseases that we're talking about today.
For more interviews on health, mind, body, and spirit, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. So basically it's word of mouth and it's patients that have tried it and seen results.
There have been trials. There's been the trial in Crohn's disease at Penn State. Penn State's done a lot of research, but it's all pretty much with very small grants. So you're not getting the kind of trials that are needed to get approval for its use in these other conditions. Right now it's used off-label.
And one of the things you talk about a lot in the book also is the use of LDN in autoimmune disease. Can you kind of go over what is autoimmune disease and how does naltrexone work on helping people recover from that?
Well, Dr. Zagon feels that pretty much every single autoimmune disease, and there's more than 80 separate autoimmune diseases, can be helped by low-dose naltrexone. Autoimmune diseases are disorders in which the immune system is ineffective and rather weak, and it launches in an inappropriate response. Normally, your immune system wards off bacteria and viruses and pollen and, you know, allergies, and it'll launch an immune response to them to protect you from them. But when the immune system is ineffective, it begins to target the body's own protein. So, for instance, in Graves' disease, which is autoimmune hyperthyroidism, your immune system produces antibodies that cause your thyroid cells to produce excess thyroid hormones. In MS, you've got antibodies and different immune system chemicals that are destroying the myelin that covers the nerve sheaths that keep you from having the proper response from muscles and nerves. So there's a variety of different autoimmune diseases, like, you know, up to 80, even psoriasis. And they published a study showing that narcolepsy is actually an autoimmune disease. They're finding, you know, more and more diseases, even endometriosis. Different diseases they're finding to have an autoimmune origin. LDN is considered an immunomodulator. So it helps strengthen rather than stimulate the immune system and helps it get back to its normal function.
Do people do other things also when they take this as far as changing their diet?
I think for any healing program, you need a complete protocol where you're watching diet and lifestyle. Pretty much all autoimmune diseases have known environmental factors that worsen the disease and cause flares. Like stress is a big trigger for all the autoimmune diseases. And so stress reduction techniques, proper diet, sugar and saturated fats are very harmful to the immune system. So avoiding them and, for instance, hypothyroidism and Graves' disease, both dietary iodine and processed foods can worsen the condition. So avoiding known triggers, keeping a healthy lifestyle along with LDN forms a good protocol. Good solid nutrition, a nutrient-rich diet, avoiding processed foods.
So kind of looking at all these areas and taking the naltrexone has been effective for people.
Oh, yeah, many, many people. Yeah, it's amazing. But it's more that naltrexone is not really alternative medicine. It is a pharmaceutical used at low doses. And the way its mode of action is more into healing the body naturally. It's making the body's own components, the immune system cells, work properly, and it restores their function. In cancer, it inhibits cell proliferation. In cancer, it works differently, where it keeps the tumor cells from growing, and it cuts off their little supplies of blood supplies that they start to create.
And are people doing research on the effects?
Yeah, Dr. Ann Zagon at Penn State has done a lot of research in head and neck cancers, pancreatic cancer, bowel cancers, renal cancers, myelomas. Dr. Bihari in New York has treated a lot of different patients over the years, and he has had success in lung cancers, the other cancers I mentioned. So you've got the two sides. You've got a lot of clinicians using it in their practice and seeing good results. And then at Penn State, they're doing research with both animals and in conjunction with humans with other doctors working on it and seeing the results both in the lab and at the bedside. Then you've got at Stanford, Dr. Jared Younger is conducting trials in fibromyalgia, and he's seeing good results.
So if people Google low-dose naltrexone, will a lot of these folks show up?
Yes, they will. And they can also go to clinicaltrials.gov and then look for any trials where naltrexone's involved.
And that's a very low dose that you're talking about in the promise of low-dose naltrexone therapy. Are there any side effects or things that are worrisome about taking naltrexone?
No, the only worrisome is you wouldn't want to take it if you're taking opiates. And the reason for this is because someone who is used to taking opiates wouldn't feel the effects because their receptors would be blocked, and that could cause them to take a higher dose for pain relief. So it's not that there's an interaction that way, but it could cause them to take too much. Some people find that they have trouble sleeping when they first start taking it, and especially if they take it at night. And Dr. Zagon just said, start out taking it at night. If it doesn't work and you're having problems sleeping, which of course is bad for your health right there, then just switch and take it during the daytime. But what's important is that you take it approximately the same time every day, just once a day, because you want that blockade for 6 hours and then that 18 hours where the drug is really doing its thing.
And I think if you had to choose between trouble sleeping and not being able to walk, I'd choose trouble sleeping for a while at least.
That's true, yeah. You know, it's worth a try, but it really doesn't matter what time of day because there's not like a circadian rhythm with it.
And it sounds like there's ways to move the dose around so that the sleeping thing isn't that big of a deal. So, Elaine, is there a contact for you if people want to contact you directly regarding the promise of low-dose naltrexone?
Yes, I have a website. It's www.elaine-moore.com. And they can contact me through my website. And I also have articles on naltrexone and autoimmune diseases, particularly thyroid disorders.
And so this works for thyroid disorders also?
You know, there haven't been clinical trials, but many thyroid patients have heard that it should work for any autoimmune disorder. So many patients have tried using low-dose naltrexone, and they're finding, especially people who have what's called thyroid eye disease, which is an inflammatory eye condition that runs its own course separate from the thyroid disorder, but it's part of the whole process. They're finding excellent results using LDN. And people with thyroid disorders, which MR autoimmune are finding decreases in their thyroid antibodies, which improves their condition.
So, Elaine, how does naltrexone work for autism? That's also mentioned in your book.
For autism, what they're finding is that there are morphinin-like compounds caused by certain foods. This is how the theory goes, that like wheat has different morphinin compounds, and how we metabolize food is different. So you don't find the same response in every child with autism, but they're finding at least 50% will show favorable response to naltrexone, because it'll lower the levels of those morphinins that are caused by casein, dairy products, and also wheat products. So there's a strict diet that goes along with this theory, too. But Dr. Pankeep over at Bowling Green State University in Ohio has done a lot of research on autism and has found that certain children will respond really well. They'll start showing better eye contact, more socialization. And the theory is that a lot of these kids have these high morphinin levels, and it's almost like they're kind of spaced out like people using morphine. And morphine does cause social isolation. Usually your heroin addicts and morphine abusers prefer solitude, social isolation. And that's what they think a lot of the kids with autism are showing. Those are the symptoms they're manifesting.
And so they take the low-dose naltrexone, and do they also alter the diet?
Something? Yeah, they alter the diet. There's a specific diet that works really well, but it doesn't work for everyone. So there's probably someday there's going to be several different classifications for autism. You'll find some caused by this, some caused by that, and there'll be different subtypes. But it's definitely worth a try, and some kids have done amazingly well. And really, it's such a low dose. Side effects are really pretty rare.
Well, Elaine, we want to thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your book, The Promise of Low-Dose Naltrexone Therapy, and we look forward to talking with you in the future.
You're welcome, Chris. I enjoyed talking to you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
That's the end of our interview about low-dose naltrexone therapy. I hope you found it helpful. And for more great interviews on marketing, advertising, business, and health, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.